It's time for the big interview on the June 23rd edition of Money Life, and I'm joined right now by Ray Kennedy, portfolio manager for Hotchkiss and Wiley. And if you are looking for more information, hwcm.com. Better yet, I would wholeheartedly encourage you to go find Ray Kennedy on the Money Life Show recent and upcoming guest page and follow the long link there to some of his commentary, because at Hotchkiss and Wiley, they do good commentaries worth taking a look at. Again, hwcm.com. Ray Kennedy, thanks so much for joining me on Money Life.
Thank you for the time.
We are living in particularly interesting times for folks who do what you do, which is, you know, a focus to some extent on where we're heading with interest rates and inflation and all the rest. So obviously everything is happening in slow motion. It's not like we can't see it coming. We just aren't quite sure exactly what we're getting. So are we seeing right now for you sort of the transition you expect from the environment we were in to the next environment, or are we seeing more uncertainty than you might have expected as we transition to maybe a little higher inflation and higher interest rates?
We have two aspects of the transition that we think about. One is, you know, credit from a default standpoint or risk standpoint. And then obviously we have the treasury component to bonds, which are, you know, more inflation driven. We've been doing the credit transition probably for about the last 6 months. Once things got to sound footing in the economy, then we saw the improvement in credit stats. We saw deleveraging. And we don't see that changing. We see that kind of trend continuing because there's just so much cash out there. Companies are deleveraging at a fast rate. The credit quality continues to improve. The inflation transition is going to be, you can just feel it's going to be fits and starts, so to speak. It's going to just be continue to be volatile. You're going to get weeks where you see people embracing it. Then you're going to see other weeks where it backs off. And part of the difficulty here is the Fed is an aggressive buyer of Treasury securities, so they're technically manipulating the market. So if they don't like what they said on Friday, they can fix it by Monday by just literally issuing more paper and buying their own debt and then driving the rates back down. So it's a funny market we're in. It's going to be like this for a while. I think my personal feeling is that the Fed probably got over their skis a little bit and suggesting that this is going to be a very long and lower rate environment. And now they're kind of backpedaling. And I think the first backpedal actually occurred from Yellen when she said it. And 6 hours later, the Treasury Department rescinded that statement. So that's the world we're in. But, you know, like I say, we separate the two components. The credit part is fine. Default rates are just getting better, meaning they're getting lower. And we continue to see strength in credit quality, but this treasury component is going to be the volatile, and it reminds us a lot of the taper tantrum that occurred in 2011.
One of the things, you know, I talked about the commentary that you guys do at Hotchkiss and Wiley, and one of the things that you do that is very much worthwhile is you basically give a quarterly update on what's happening with high yield. You talked about default rates coming down. It has been a really interesting time throughout the pandemic for high yield bonds. And quite honestly, I think there are plenty of people who intuitively going into the pandemic thought we're going to wind up seeing more defaults here. We're going to see junk get junkier because we really hadn't seen much of it. And instead, at least as an outsider and an amateur, which I am, you're not, it looks like that's not at all what's been happening. But just as we're seeing changes with the rest of the market, it's happening in the high yield market as well. So I know you haven't done your second quarter update because we're not quite through the second quarter, but what are you looking for the rest of the year from high yield?
At best, coupon type returns. So if you think about high yield having an average coupon, and I'm just round numbers here, of 50 basis points a month, that would imply, you know, 3% type return. But you have to assume the treasury backup's going to absorb some of that. We're still well above the historic tights of high yield, you know, which were about 250 to 60 basis points. We're about 310 basis points, but we're pretty close to the tights that have occurred since the GFC. And so that's why there's not much additional room for tightening. And so we always look at those two components, which are you got your coupon, then you basically have to subtract any price movement that's going to occur in your bond. We always break the outlook into three components, you know, fundamentals, technicals, and valuation. fundamentally, things just continue to be strong. There's really no negative story, so to speak. We did see the first signs of an LBO. There's some mega LBOs out there, and those can impact both the fundamentals and the technicals. The fundamentals because you see excessive leverage, the technicals because all of a sudden you got this large amount of paper that has to be placed, and the only way you set and you do that is by setting a higher clearing price, i.e. a higher yield. But when you start looking at things like defaults, you look at leverage, you look at interest coverage, everything's just golden right now. It's almost, you never want to use the term, the Goldilocks conditions, but from that standpoint, it is. Technicals, I think you're going to get a little bit more choppiness because there's two components of the technicals. One is the new issue market, but the other component is how much are people buying of the asset class. And I think people are, if we start seeing a little bit of choppiness occur in treasuries, you may see investors either exit the asset class or not buy. And that will obviously impact kind of pricing. The last thing, though, is valuation. Valuation is the toughest part right now in high yield because it's as we said, it's at the tight end of spreads for the great financial crisis, and we'd probably be inclined to be more cautious, higher quality, shorter durations in this world. But one, just to answer your or kind of respond to your initial comment about our expectations, really in last March and April, were that this is going to be a debacle. We're going to see one of the highest default rates you've ever seen, because how many times do we ever look at a situation where a company not only has higher leverage but has no revenues? And that's what we were dealing with. What we really misread, I think all of us in the market, including the big distressed investors, was how fast liquidity could come into a market to provide support for these companies. And I think even some of the big investors like Howard Marks and the distressed community have said, there's just nothing available right now in the U.S. From a distress standpoint. It's going to be overseas. And that's a good thing for our market, because even the professionals who do play in the distress world just don't see many opportunities. And that's including energy, which clearly was one of the most beaten up sectors. We're seeing a massive consolidation occur there, and hence credit quality continues to improve in the energy space.
In terms of what you are seeing globally, I mean, we've got different central banks responding to situations around the world. We have a pandemic that everybody went into at the same time, but they're not coming out of at the same time. What does that set up for folks who are looking at, where can I go in the world to try to find some yield in an environment here where the yield situation is changing?
Well, and also to complicate that, think about how this has progressed, because for a while there, it looked like Europe was going to be the first to recover, so to speak, or the one that was showing the most strength, and you were seeing a lot of buying of paper over in that market. Then, of course, it switched to the U.S., and now you've got the laggards in those countries. It's for us, we're a domestic investor. That's our forte. So we don't invest too actively in these other markets, maybe in Europe, but not really, for example, in Southeast Asia. I think emerging markets is probably still the scariest part for investors, because there's two factors that drive that. One is that obviously they tend to have the most challenging medical issues, so to speak, in that they cannot, they just don't have access to the vaccine, the oxygen, as we've been hearing about in India. So you have to assume that those markets are going to be slower to recover, but also a lot of them have dollar-linked economies. And so with the dollar, weakening, dollar strengthening, the movement that's going to see over the next couple of years, really, as the Fed kind of tries to normalize rates, inflation picks up, that's going to be challenging for a lot of those countries. So I still probably think, I would probably tell investors that I still think the U.S. is probably the best place to be, but you may be selective in some of these other markets, especially those that have commodity-driven exposure, where we're definitely seeing, a huge surge in demand in both mineral-based as well as, energy-related commodities.
Quickly, because we are almost out of time, how fast before we see these changes digested? I mean, if you and I are talking a year from now, between what's happening with the economy, what's happening with inflation, where we think interest rates are going, et cetera. Will we be talking a year from now going, yeah, looks like things are, you know, back to normal, whatever normal's going to look like? It may not be pre-pandemic normal, but it is, we're now through it. The worst is over. Or is it going to take longer than that to digest?
I think we will be back to semi-normal quicker than we think. There's one thing that we've learned in investing over the last couple of years is the drawdowns tend to be shorter and the recoveries tend to be faster. And I think that's one of the things we're finding here. Clearly, the wild card is, you know, if we have to go through another variant and the vaccines don't work, because if that were to occur, that could be devastating for the financial markets because they have spent so much money trying to recover from this one, you know, and even get beyond where we were in terms of just money influx into the economy. And at some point, you're going to run out of, well, MMT says you don't ever run out, we probably will run out of some sort of capacity, at least at the state level, where you can just keep issuing debt or, you know, basically providing support. So that's been the key to this recovery. You can kind of only do that once. So that's the wild card in all this. Will we have another variant that will push the governments to basically step back and go, oh my gosh, you know, this is going to be a much longer recovery. We're going to have to take a much slower approach because we've spent so much of our quote unquote resources to recover from this one.
Ray, it's great stuff. I hope we have that conversation a year from now when we talk about where things are gone, and maybe we'll talk between now and then too. Thanks so much for joining me on Money Life.
Thank you.
That's Ray Kennedy. He's portfolio manager with Hotchkiss and Wiley, HWCM.com, the website. To learn more about their high yield strategies and his insights, go find him on the Money Life Show recent guest page and follow the long link there. We're halfway into today's show. You know, that means we're really just getting started. So settle back and relax. There's more Money Life, and we'll get to it in just a moment.